How is everybody? Good. Hey, wow. Do your best Pastor Schaller impression. Hey, hey. All right, and shake the person's hand next to you and say that. Hey, how are you doing? Okay. Wow, good to be with you. Did everybody have a great Thanksgiving? Have you been thankful for your Thanksgiving? Thank God, right? I had three of them. I had like triple. I'm on a treadmill right now. After service, guess you know where I'm going. No, it's great to be with each other. Thank you for coming out tonight. We've learned something in the church. The church is not perfect. I learned this in Bible school, but the church is profitable for us. Amen? What does that mean? I don't know. Let's try to explain it. It means that maybe someone will rub you the wrong way. Maybe someone will annoy you or do something that might offend you. But also, you'll be built up. What a great worship that was, wasn't it? Like, you'll come and you'll meet God. The Holy Spirit will touch you. And maybe you'll have a brother or sister that puts their hand on your shoulder and just says, I love you, or I'm praying for you. And that helps you go forward. It helps you in your walk with God. And that's where it's profitable. And maybe what we could do now, if you can just ask God to put maybe a few people on your heart that you can pray for. And I have a couple people. Usually these are like rhetorical things, but for me, I'm going to tell you this, some people that I'm just thinking about that have made an incredible difference in my life and that I just want to recognize. Okay, and then as I'm doing that, maybe you can think of some people that you can just pray for. And that's what's profitable about it, right? You have people that are praying for you. Like, where else in the world does that happen? It's in the church where people, maybe you don't even know it, but they're praying for you. So the first couple that I'm thinking of that have just made an investment in my life as a young person, and just looking at them, it's Paul and Ginny Boucher. Where's Paul? That couple, since I was a little kid, just always showed the love of God. And you see Paul on a Saturday and he's out in evangelism and he's a great example. So I thought he's just been a great, great example of a family that glorifies God, both of them. And then I think of Pastor Matt Garrett and his family, and the Bible College. And we have so much fun in the Bible College. How many people were in Bible College? Okay, how many people are taking for credit? No, don't raise your hand. But we have a lot of fun, and you're welcome, and you'll love it. Bible College is so amazing. And then I'm thinking of Tracy Eaton. Wow, what a great, great woman of God. And she's a ninja, too, a spiritual ninja. So... and maybe there's people on your heart, too, that God has put on your heart. Let's just take a few minutes. Let's pray. We got a few things to pray for as we're praying for those three people. Let's pray for Pastor Schaller and Pastor Sturge's trip to Chile. Chile, wow. I've only eaten chili. I've never actually been to Chile. But let's pray for that trip. And then let's pray for Pastor Schibelli, who has a medical procedure soon. Just pray for him. Canceled? Wow, that's a miracle. All right, strike that from the record. Where's the typograph? Let's just pray for each other, all right? Let's take a few minutes. Maybe if you feel led to, pray with your neighbor. If you feel like just praying alone, you also can do that too.
All right, our Bible study tonight is from the book of Hebrews, This will be about 20-minute message, maybe. And I want you to learn a little bit about the book of Hebrews. And we'll turn to actually Romans 9 for a key verse. Romans 9, it helps establish a context for the book of Hebrews. One of my favorite books in the Bible, Pastor Barry's a teacher of book of Hebrews. And how many of you like the book of Hebrews, love the book of Hebrews? Whoa, oh yeah. Wow, okay, that's great. All right, Romans 9, verse 4 and 5. Who are Israelites? They are Hebrews or Jews. Who are Israelites? To whom pertaineth the adoption and the glory? I think we could write down these words. I don't want to spend a lot of time on this. Adoption, glory. What's the next thing that the Jews have? They have covenants. What's the next thing the Jews have? The giving of the law. And what's the next thing? Service of God. In this, we can put here priesthood. Service of God, the priesthood and the tabernacle, and then the promises. Wow, did the Jews have a lot? They have a lot. The Jewish people had a lot given to them from God. They had the manifestation of God. This is Hebrews 1 in verse 1. Yes, verse 1. Hebrews 1, 1. God, who at different times, sundry times, and in various ways spake in the time past unto the fathers, the Jewish people, by the prophets. And we just put a list up on the board. What did he do? He took them as his people. I brought my son out of Egypt. He brought the Jewish people out of Egypt. The Shekinah glory was there. He had covenants with them, Davidic covenant, Mosaic covenant. The law was given to Moses, the priesthood, Aaron's priesthood, and promises. It'd be very hard if I was a Jew and I learned this and grew up in it and lived by it to shift to the new covenant, to accept the Christ as the Messiah, to say there are no more sacrifices needed. Yeah, but all of our history is based on animal sacrifices. Yom Kippur and the priesthood and the tabernacle and the city of Jerusalem and David and the covenant with David and all of this. It's very confusing, potentially, for a new believer in Christ. That's what the context of the book of Hebrews is. It's teaching the Jewish people what it means to be a messianic Jew, what it means to accept Christ as the Messiah. And it would be very difficult to shift. I have to be honest. I mean, I think you can grasp it also as you read the book of Hebrews, because he is saying that we have to move on. We have to embrace. There's 11 let us phrases in the book of Hebrews. Let us. So I have them on slides, these 11, and I want to go there in a second, but not right now. I want to say a little more. If you were brought up as a Muslim and then you accept Christ as the Messiah, that shift, maybe you were brought up maybe a Mormon, or a Jehovah's Witness, or maybe Catholic, And then the things that you're learning, that you start to think about it, and the Holy Spirit is your teacher. And you start to think, well, wow, I didn't know it was like that. I'm going to draw back. If I believe in Christ, if I believe in Jesus, that means then, but I don't think I will. I think I'll draw back and just stay where I am, because this is our family tradition. This is what I learned as a child. We can have a few things here. Tradition. There's also guilt. You also have family relationships. I'm a Muslim. I grew up as a Muslim, let's say, and now I'm a believer in Jesus Christ, and my family is falling apart. And what are you going to say to them? You're going to say, oh, I understand. I know it's very difficult. Oh, I understand. Like, I don't know what the answer is for that. And the guy, the man or the woman could say, I'm drawing back. There's another problem that can happen to any one of us, and that is laziness. Put here, laziness. You know, isolation, maybe. Isolation. I'm not going anymore. I don't want to hear about it. I'm drawing back. I'm withdrawing. I'm not motivated. I'm tired. I'm worn out. And that happens to us. That can happen to anybody. And so I want you to just make a note of this in your heart, because the fight that is in the book of Hebrews relates to us. Like the moving on, the believing, not withdrawal, but going on. Let's look at those let us in the book of Hebrews 4, verse 1. Let us therefore fear. That's a promise being left to us of entering into his rest. Any of you should seem to come short of it. That's pretty strong. What's the context? The Jews in the wilderness, and this is what's so good about the book, is because it's all about Judaism. And that when they came out of Egypt and went into the wilderness, they lived in unbelief. And the writer is saying this in Hebrews 3. And then his conclusion of that is, let's not let that happen to us. Let us fear that it could happen to us, and let's do something about it. I like that. Let's do something about it. Let's have something in our hearts. And of course, what's so great about the book of Hebrews is that the motivation is very high, because it's rooted in the person of Christ. It's very high, seeing Christ. It's contemplating the reality that there is a tabernacle, not on the earth, but there is one in heaven that was built by God. Let us then, let us, let's go to the next one. Let us fear, and then the next one is 4:14, is it? See, then we have a high priest, yes, that is passed into the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God. Let us hold fast our profession. Okay. So this is very, very important to a Jew. High priest, passed into heaven. No. I have a high priest on the earth. And the Jew is saying, no. The writer here, maybe it is Paul. It could have been Paul or Apollos. No, there's a debate about it in who wrote the book of Hebrews, and it's not told who it is. However, we know they know Judaism very well. They understood it real well. And to say that our high priest has gone into heaven, and that led us then come boldly to him, is an exhortation. It's a word of instruction. It's a powerful argument for not withdrawing, but coming and believing and embracing. Do we have the slides that we sent over to the AV department? Okay, so we have these. We did two of them. Now we have. No, we have, it's 4:1, not 4:16. Uh-oh. 4:1, it's just a typo. 4:1, fear. 4:11, let us labor. 4:16, let us come boldly. Next. 6:1, let's go on. Let's turn there and look at that verse. Therefore, leaving the principles of the doctrine of Christ, let us go on unto perfection. I wish I could couch this in the context of getting very discouraged, very tired, kind of worn out. Living in routine. Maybe, as the Jews did, live in legalism, have their life kind of mapped out in a legalistic way, and they just settled into legalism, and that was enough. We just live by law, and that's good enough for us. This new thing is a problem for us. However, they know that the tomb is empty. I mean, you can walk over to the tomb and check it out. And they never found the body. And they also were at Pentecost when Peter was preaching. I mean, some of them perhaps were, or at least they knew about it. And the Spirit of God moved, and people were born again. And in Jerusalem, and this is written before the temple is destroyed in 70 AD, and in Jerusalem, people knew about Christianity. Or that the Messiah, supposedly the Messiah, came. But the problem that it causes in my life, in many very practical ways, causes me to withdraw. I'm not coming. I'm not going to be part of it. And maybe just passively playing it safe or just doing that. And you can identify with these people and really kind of sympathize with them. But don't do it too much. Because God is saying, you're accountable. He is. He's saying, it happened under your nose. The tomb is empty. The apostles are in Jerusalem. And you know how empty your life is when you've got this, this stuff going on in your life. When you have tradition, but you don't have any power. You have guilt, but you offer sacrifices, but they don't change your mind, your heart, your conscience. You have family relationships, and maybe you keep your family together, but then what if we all go to hell? What if our whole family would go to hell? What if we're missing the whole point? What if Jesus Christ is the Messiah and the answer for our family? We need somebody in the family to move on. Let us go on. Let us be believers. Let us embrace it. Let it come into my heart and change my life and the people in my family. So that's what it's about. Go to the next one. Let's see. Let us go on. And the slides. I mean, okay. Draw near, Hebrews 10, verse 22. Let's look at that. Verse 22. Let us draw near with a true heart. Come on. Would that work? Would it work if I drew near to God with a pure heart? Would that work for me? What would happen to me? How would it affect me? What if the truth goes in my mind and affects my subconscious mind so I have a tremendous amount of confidence? What if the Holy Spirit brings the doctrine and the truth into my heart like it did the Apostle Paul? And when the Apostle Paul became a believer, remember he was blind for 3 days. And it might be during those 3 days when he couldn't look at anything that God was working in his mind. And maybe this is only me saying this, we don't know, but maybe in those hours, Bible verses are coming to his mind and convincing him that Jesus is the Christ, because he'd just seen him and he went blind and he was there for 3 days. And maybe this reality that the book of Hebrews is saying to the Jewish people, don't draw back, go on. Moses went on. And Caleb and David, and they moved on. That's Hebrews chapter 11. And Samson, and many examples, like Sarah and Abraham and Jacob and Isaac and Japheth and Daniel, and all of these examples in Hebrews 11 are really saying, like, don't draw back into your world. Like, go on, because the Holy Spirit will affect your mind and your heart and affect your subconscious mind, and you'll start to believe what these things are saying, what God is saying, well, who Christ is. Who is he? He's a high priest that will never die. He is the blood sacrifice that is forever settled in heaven, that there's no more need for a sacrifice in Hebrews chapter 10. Verse 14. There's, by the way, the writer said, and pretty soon there'll be no more temple. It will vanish. It'll be gone. He didn't say it, but God said it. Christ said, see these stones, not one will be upon another within a generation. And the Romans came in 69 and 70 AD and took it down. Now there is no more Judaism as it was known, because there's a new covenant with the people. Okay, let's finish up here. Let us draw near. Let us hold fast. And I love that little phrase. But this holding fast isn't with my hands and my arms. It has to be in my heart. And I got a paragraph just to highlight the power of the subconscious mind, which I'm kind of like studying a little bit and thinking about. It says, your subconscious mind does not engage in proving whether your thoughts are good or bad, true or false, but it responds according to the nature of your thoughts. In other words, if you have truth put in your conscious mind, your subconscious mind will go along with it. And that subconscious mind is a very important part of your life. What you are thinking and what you are believing in your subconscious mind. That's where depression comes from. Depression is when in my conscious mind it is so negative, it affects my subconscious mind, and I kind of walk around maybe saying the right things, but deep inside I'm depressed. What's the answer for that? It's faith. It's obedience. It's listening. It's embracing the doctrine. It's the Spirit working in my heart. It's me starting to believe what he said. Yeah, you know, when you go to sleep at night, your subconscious mind, you have your dreams coming out of there. And imagine if we embrace the truth and move on, what God will do in my heart and in my life as I obey and I move on, like he said. Let us draw near. What was the other one? Let us hold fast. What is it, verse 23? The profession of our faith without wavering. For he is faithful that promised. I honestly believe that if we have this habit of being fed, we get this habit of being exhorted, encouraged, and if we kind of, in our hearts, we hold it fast, we embrace it, that it's going to affect our whole life. I mean, it's going to affect my life. Why would he say it to these people when they're drawing away and he's saying, no, do not do that, but draw near. And this will have a big effect on your life. It'll affect your attitude. It'll affect your words, your actions. It'll affect your life. Come on. And they say, no, I can't. I can't. Look at Hebrews 10 and verse 32. But call to remembrance the former days in which after you were illuminated, you endured a great fight of afflictions. It looks like that after they were saved and born again, they had a lot of persecution. There was a lot of persecution against the Christians in Jerusalem. And that they were made a gazing stock in verse 33. Partly while you were made a gazing stock. Do you know what that means? You were the object of spectators. Spectators were looking at you as if you were in the arena, like in the Roman Colosseum, not literally but figuratively, like we're all looking at you as we take your stuff out of your house and throw it on the sidewalk. And we set a fire to it. We burn your furniture. We burn your clothes. When we persecuted you because you were a Christian, you were made a gazing stock. Do you remember when that happened to you? This is what he's saying. Do you remember when you were persecuted, when you were first illuminated? Yes, we remember, and now we are drawing back. Like we want to get away from it. And the writer is saying, verse 33, you were made a gazing stock both by reproaches and afflictions, and partly you became companions of them that were so used. There was a group of you. For you had compassion on me in my bonds, took joyfully the spoiling of your goods, knowing in yourselves that you have in heaven a better and an enduring substance. Cast not away, therefore, your confidence, which has great recompense of reward. You have confidence. What do you mean? You remember? You handled that well. You remember? You went through the persecution. Do you remember? You had confidence. Do you remember that things were, God was with you in it? Do you remember the glory of God that rested upon you in your trouble? And he's saying, you have need of patience, verse 36, that after you have done the will of God, you might receive the promise. Wow. He is not sentimental with these people. He's not giving them an excuse. He's not saying, I understand you can draw away. You can do that. And I mean, I'm just preaching from the text. I'm telling you, I'm trying to tell you what it's saying. And this, let us not do that. Let us move on. This is what he's saying. And you have to ask yourself the question, what is it that would make me go away? What would make me what would make me lazy or legalistic or condemned or disturbed in relationships with people. Chris Armand mentioned church isn't perfect, but it's beneficial. And I always like that example when I go to the dentist and he does work, drills something, fixes something. I don't say, is it perfect? I just say, did you fix it? Is it okay now? Yeah, it's good. You're good to go. When you get your car repaired, you don't say, is it perfect? They just say, I fixed it. It's working. That's life for us. Like fellowship with God is like God saying, it's going to be beneficial. It's going to be better. And that's another key word in the book of Hebrews. Christ is better. The covenant is better. The tabernacle is better. The sacrifices are better. The priesthood is better. And by the way, your life is better. It's a lot better. Our life is a lot better being in the church. It's a lot better listening to this book. It's a lot better being with sisters and brothers that worship God by faith. It's a lot better. God is with you. And so therefore, let us. Let's go to the last part. It's there, the last one maybe. Let us lay aside the weights that easily beset us. Let's have grace to serve the living God. Let's go forth unto him outside the camp and let us offer the sacrifice of praise. I think the book of Hebrews has a lot to say to us. And he's saying, come on, let's go. Let's believe it. Let's embrace it. And let's not back off. Hebrews 10, verse 38. Now the just shall live by faith, and if any man draw back, my soul shall have no pleasure in him. So here I am. I draw back. Play it safe. This is how I am. This is what I want. And then I say, no. Samson lived by faith. David lived by faith. Moses lived by faith. They left Egypt by faith. Sarah had a child by faith. Noah built an ark by faith. What about you? What about me? We go by faith. Let us go. Let us learn these let us's in the book of Hebrews. Have them in our hearts. Let us not draw back, but let us move on. But we are not of them who draw back unto perdition, but of them that believe to the saving of the soul. And then, I just in finishing here, just to say, don't get discouraged. God is with you. Be careful of what goes on in your subconscious mind and how powerful that can be. And just make an effort of hiding the word in your heart and waiting on God and praying, laughing a lot, loving a lot, rejoicing a lot, enjoying the small things in life a lot, enjoying it all, because God is with you and God is for you. And your mind will be kept healthy. Philippians chapter 4 and verse 4. Let me read it to you. Rejoice in the Lord always. Verse 6, be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. And in the peace of God, which passes all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. You know, we just had a presidential election, and many of us are very happy about it. But then also keep it in prayers, because you don't know what tomorrow will bring. There are no assurances, but we have in our hearts and in our minds the peace of God that passes all understanding. You are rooted and grounded in the person who is the Prince of Peace, and he will keep your heart and your mind. One day you may be very disappointed. You and I may be very disappointed, but God is saying, let us go on. And God will keep our hearts and our minds. Whatever we go through in the future, God will take care of us, and we'll be healthy in our hearts and in our lives with love and peace in our hearts. Amen. Okay, pray with me, please. Yeah. Lord. The other night in Bible college, I could just sense the fire of God. The fire of God in the heart. Lord, that's our prayer. That we would have times where we would feel and sense the fire of the Holy Spirit. We'd be baptized with fire. But if we draw away, we draw back, protect our lives, protect our way, and all that, that is one way to live. But the Lord will say to us, let's go on unto perfection. And all of these exhortations. And then in that, we will find health in our mind and in our heart. And strength that comes from God. And Lord, thank you for this church. Thank you for these families. We are fighting a good battle. We are living in a troubled world. And we have found the way of life. And help us in it. Yes, even in our deepest troubles, you are the answer. And may you be so real to us, please, Lord. Very real and very personal to each of us. In Christ's name. And anyone listening to me, would you come to Jesus today for the first time? Come to Jesus as you are. Put your trust in him. He will answer you. He saves you. Now, immediately. He saves you with trust in him. Amen.